ìkànnì tó ju ìkànnì lọ, ìkànnì dúdú spray FM. Ẹ jẹ́ kó wà níbẹ̀. Filẹ̀, jẹ́ kó wà níbẹ̀.
This is Dudu Spray FM, Pan African Radio.
Don't gag me.
Let me say what I got to say. A program that is slated for special dignitary in the society. Thank you. Baba Fela, thank you. Honestly, we are grateful for that legacy. Well, listeners, wherever you are, all across the globe, whatever time you are listening, this is your friend and the host, Obafemi Omo Babaloke, welcoming you on our program, Jen Witte Me. That is, don't gag me.
Jen Witte Me. Don't gag me.
Don't gag me. Let me say what I got to say. Here is a personality program to your listening pleasure. Dudu Spree. Whereby we bring important dignitaries from all across the globe. Again, welcome to the first and the only Pan-African radio. We are world-class Pan-African internet radio, the branding African entertainment. Yes, that's what we are. Today, I'm so excited about our guest for today. This is a special interview with Bashegun, Dokita Olushola Oni. I want to say, Bashegun, we welcome you, sir.
Thank you.
Bashegun, you have a book, The Yoruba Medicine of Antiquity. Tell us something about that.
I think I should probably approach this by saying that I'm a Yoruba traditionalist and a Yoruba nationalist. And I make no apologies at all.
Don't gag me.
Let me say what I got to say.
All right.
What made me interested in Yoruba medicine was that when the Europeans came, before they discovered quinine and so on and so forth, they were just dying like flies. And yet the Yorubas had survived the same calamity for years. Mm-hmm. And I asked myself, how did they do it? Okay. How do they do it? And part of the things that I found was that the Yorubas were pathologists. The Yoruba medicine was based on pathology. I don't know how to explain this. When you look at Chinese medicine, for example, it's all about yin and yang and meridians, totally meaningless jargon. Yoruba medicine is totally different. Yoruba medicine is kokoro, onlonfa, aisan. That's what pathology is. So the Yorubas were actually practicing what you would now call orthodox medicine. They were practicing it.
Don't stop.
Don't gag me.
Don't gag me.
Don't gag me.
Don't gag me. Let me say what I got to say.
All right. What you now call orthodox medicine, and everybody thinks, things have changed now. It's not quite like it used to be in the olden days, because there are a lot of, con men and charlatans who are now calling themselves medicine men in Yoruba land. But in the olden days, the practice, for example, you probably didn't know that the Yorubas introduced vaccination to the world. You probably didn't know that.
I didn't know, Bashir.
The Yorubas knew that in order to prevent you from having smallpox, you take the scalp from somebody who had smallpox, you made a mark on the skin, and you rub it on it.
That's say that vaccine. Again, Bashir.
All right. The Yorubas knew that to prevent you from catching smallpox,
Yes.
Okay. What they did was to take a scab. I don't know how you translate, like the pus.
Okay.
From the person who has smallpox. You then make marks on the person who doesn't have the smallpox, and you rub the same on him. He then develops immunity.
Okay.
That is
so. It's no contamination. But
the contamination is what gives you the immunity.
Oh! I beg your pardon.
Yeah, I'm glad you used the word contamination.
Yeah,
it was the contamination that gave you the immunity.
Immunity.
And that technique was introduced to America in 1776, I think, by a Yoruba slave, Onesimus.
This is Do The Spray FM, Pan-African Radio.
Okay.
He was the one who introduced it to the Americans, which helped in the American Civil War, because many of them were dying of smallpox. When he said, this is easy, it's easy to prevent. Just take the scalp from the man who has smallpox, give it to the man who hasn't got any, and that man who hasn't got any doesn't get smallpox.
Bashegun, then how do they treat the patient?
No, you are not a, it's not a, you must have had smallpox vaccination when you were a child in Nigeria.
Yes.
It's the same thing. It's exactly the same. It's now, it's a fancy but in those days, it was equally as effective as now. Because all you are doing, you infect a person who does not have the disease, he develops immunity, and he doesn't develop the disease. Very simple.
I mean, the person who had that sickness, how did they come back to him to get him healed?
Oh, I mean, that's a totally different kettle of fish entirely.
Okay.
I was talking about the person who doesn't have the disease.
Yeah, I can.
And you are preventing him from getting the disease.
This is so interesting.
So we've had all these sort of things, and when you start reading about Yoruba medicine, when you find that people, the writers just didn't think it was anything, or they said it was due to Shango or Orisha or this, that, so even when they were trying in the 60s and 70s, when they were actually studying the effect of, say, Ibere, for example, they were manipulating the data to say that the Yoruba medicine was useless. I mean, there was a study about Ibere that was used as contraceptive. That is, if a woman didn't want to have babies, They had this Igbele that they gave them. And when they analyzed the data, they said it was not effective. But actually, it is the way that the data was analyzed that gave that false impression.
Don't gag me.
Let me say what I got to say.
So this one is sort of things, you know, and then all sorts of funny translations and, you know, that really disparaged Yoruba medicine. I'm not saying that Yoruba medicine is perfect or whatever. What I'm saying is that if you are going to describe something, you have to be truthful. And one of the biggest problems that we as Yorubas have is that a lot of things that are written about us, about our tradition, about our culture, is rubbish.
Don't gag me.
Let me say what I got to say.
Because they were written from the point of view of either Christians or even Muslims, you know, in those days, Muslim clerics, Christian missionaries, colonialists, colonial officers. These were the people, because we Yorubas didn't write. We didn't have the skill of writing. So all these different people were writing about us. And they were just simply writing absolute rubbish. Even to the name Yoruba, which is being argued backwards and forwards now, and we're Fulani lo fun Yoruba, ni oruko Yoruba. That's just stupid. Absolutely stupid. Why would somebody else give us our name? And the people who are people like Kapatin who are writing about Yoruba, the Yoruba name. The Yoruba name had existed before Clapperton came to Yoruba land.
That's right.
It wasn't when he arrived that the name was. The name had been there before he arrived.
Okay.
The people on the coast, the merchants on the coast were already using the word Yoruba before all these people came to Yoruba land. In other words, the Yoruba land, Yoruba as Yoruba had been known by 1400. Before all these people are writing all sorts of things about us.
Yes, and I think I read something about that too.
Yeah, that is the problem that we as Yorubas have. That because we didn't write, a lot of people have written a lot of nonsense about us.
This is To The Spray FM, Pan-African Radio.
And we have simply regurgitated what they have written. Even when you come to what Orisha did, I mean, for example, Professor Bolaji wrote a book, Eledumare, the God of the Yorubas, which were partly what people like Reverend Johnson wrote, and so on and so forth. This was just regurgitating what the Christian missionaries said. And you can understand, the Christian missionaries, they had their own agenda. Remember, they were volunteers. They had to show people back home that they were successful because the money was being donated. So they had to show that we were devils and whatever it is you want to call us. So they had to malign the Yorubas in order for them to get money to evangelize.
Lord have mercy.
So a lot of the things that were written about the Yorubas are complete adulteration. And it is just unfortunate that our academics and so on and so on, chroniclers and so on and so forth, have simply been regurgitating what people have said before. I mean, for example,
errors.
I've just been reading something about somebody who's going back to the Alaafin of Oyo to something like 12th century. That was, how can you go back to the 12th century when the people did not write? How do you do that? The Yorubas never wrote. So how can you go all the way back and say in the 1200 this man was king? How? That is part of our problem, is that people are doing computations. So, you know, in oral, maybe oral historian told you a lot of names, Elejoba, Tonjoba, Ibajoba, and so on and so forth. They then sat down and then computed years. They started going back, computing years. So a lot of our history is really unknown.
To the Spray FM, Pan-African Radio.
I've just been attending a course which has finished on the economic history of Africa.
Yes, sir.
Where, again, there are a lot of people pontificating on no data. No data at all. Everybody is guessing what was before. Because they actually had no idea what has transpired before. And this is what we need to be careful that, so that when I wrote the book, I tried to go back as far as is possible.
Yes, sir.
To just look at things and ask myself, what is Ifa? What is Orisha? What is this sort of thing? So those are the sort of things that I dealt with in the book.
Don't gag me.
Don't gag me. Let me say what I got to say.
Baba, our bad me. What you mentioned about the Yoruba land, the Yoruba nation. In fact, it really triggered my interest on that land. I can't wait to get to that land because, like I said earlier, that you are leaving a legacy. Because right now, we see what we can read, what we can verse ourselves with.
Exactly.
So we are really grateful. Before I close this interview, let me just ask this question.
Okay.
What about your book, The Law as Practiced by the Ancient Yoruba? A book, according to the writer, a book to remind us of the world that we lost.
Yes.
Please, what does that mean?
This is Do The Spray FM, Pan-African Radio.
That's part of the things that I was talking about, that because we Yorubas didn't write, therefore there has been a lot of concoctions about our history, about our tradition, about our culture. What I then decided to do was this, that I have perhaps about 85 publications in scientific journals. Even today, I am still on the editorial board of 2 journals. So I haven't actually given up orthopedic academia. So as an academic, I then sat and asked myself, okay, in your book on medicine, you've criticized people that they were using, you know, fake history, fake everything. So what else can you do other than, you know, read what Europeans have written, what the missionaries have written, and just accept that that's the history. Then I began to look at, ask myself, how did the Yorubas actually pass down tradition, history, and so on and so forth? Did they pass it down just by the word of mouth?
Mm.
Or did they have another method? And then it dawned on me. The Yorubas embedded information in names.
Name?
Yes. For example, my name is Olushola.
Okay.
But that's just a shortened form of a sentence.
That's true.
In other words, if you took any name, any Yoruba name, any Yoruba noun, you could break it down by a technique called onomastic analysis. Because Yoruba words are compound words. You see, the way the Yorubas made verbs, very interesting. Very interesting. They took a vowel, they took a consonant, and that is your verb. Lo, bo, wa. It's just a consonant and a vowel. And those are verbs. Lo, to go. Wa, to come. That is the same with the Yoruba language. That Yoruba language is very fascinating. Very fascinating.
Yes, Bashir.
That if you actually understood, if you, any word, any noun, you could dissect it into the component parts. And that gives you an understanding of what they were saying. In other words, they practice something called, that I call word embedment.
Word embedment.
Embedment. They embedded information in their words.
Yes.
So when you hear Ojuelegba, it means something. It's not. Whereas, exactly. Whereas in English, they have primary words. Yorubas, very rarely do you have primary words in Yoruba language. Very rare. Because what the Yorubas do is you make your verb, you then build on it. Da, to create, Eda, something that is created, Eleda, the person who created who did the creating. Yeah. so you start from Da, Eda, Eleda. All related.
Yes.
That was how the Yorubas created words. That is what I mean by word embedment. That is almost any noun, almost any word, you can break it down. You ask the question, what is the primary verb? So, for example, if somebody talks to you about a letter, so you say, what is the primary verb? The primary verb is da, to create. And eda is the one that you have created. A letter is the one who has created the eda. Wow. And that was how the Yorubas embedded. So to me, that is almost as writing. Although they didn't write, they embedded words, they embedded information in words. And what that meant was this, that a lot of translations of Yoruba culture, it's just false. Because what people have been doing is they've been looking at the English equivalent. So when they are translating things, they are using English. They are not actually understanding what the word means. They just say, the English say tree, and you say igi. Well, that's the same thing. So they are not actually asking the question, what did the Yorubas mean? when they say Igi, although you may end up saying it's tree, but the Yoruba language is a living language. It's a descriptive language.
Yes.
It is not like English or French. No, completely different to most languages in the world.
Correct. I see that.
It is a living language. It's a descriptive language. You know, that's why Yoruba thinks like Ilela and Wokatu Somoluruko. Because what you are doing is you are looking at the context. So the Yoruba words are in context. They are not just, I want Yoruba, I can't do it all. I mean, which we do now. In modern times, I can't do it all. But you are.
Don't gag me. Let me say what I got to say.
No, that's not what they did. They embedded information in every word. And it was based on that I wrote the book. You know, things like Oshoma Alu, Iwofa, and so on and so forth. These are words that have legal connotations.
Okay.
You know, they're not just, I mean, we throw them around, but actually, if you read the book, a lot of these words have described the legal connotation. And I can do this because I have qualifications in law. And I've sat with judges, I've presented before judges in this country. So I have an idea of how the law works. And when you look at Yoruba, I mean, Yoruba was a fascinating, unbelievably fascinating. But, you know, everything just, I mean, gels together. But when you're analyzing, you've got to start with the primary verb. Kini, koko, what is the primary verb? And that's how I wrote the book. And let me tell you something.
Yes, Bashir.
What the Yorubas did were precise. It wasn't just wishy-washy, kinila, so you. The use of language was precise. So that you can, almost as if you've written it. In Gotoman, one of the things that I find difficult to understand is that some of us try to pretend that the Yorubas had alphabets and were writing and stuff. And somebody calling it alphabeti. I mean, it's just we need to be proud of what we are.
Yes.
You need to be proud of what, if you are not non-writers, why do you want to pretend that you are writers? Just because some other people were writing. Because when you pretend what you are not, you don't know what you are.
This is Dudu Spray FM, Pan-African Radio.
Don't gag me.
Don't gag me. Let me say what I got to say.
If you pretend what you are not, you cannot know what you are.
That's
the problem. There are so many things that are said about Yoruba culture that are not Yoruba at all. For example, the idea of patriarchy, that the Yoruba okolo fun yawo lo je, that's English culture. The Yorubas never had housewives. No, there were no housewives in Yoruba land. Because Okwa Losi Oko Alobe Ishua Yawawa The wife was the food processor.
Yes.
You know, so instead of the man taking it into a factory, takes it home to his wife, who processes the thing into food. This is the problem that we have, that because we've been contaminated by English and Arabian culture in modern times, we have lost what we...
This is Dudu Spray FM, Pan-African Radio.
The Yorubas never discriminated between sexes.
Mm.
There are women who are Olushola. There are men who are Olushola.
Mm.
We have very few words that discriminated between male and female.
That's true.
The Yorubas do not discriminate. It was when these people came to colonize us, to contaminate us, that's when we started talking about women do this, men do that, and this sort of, you know, a dichotomy. You know, it was never like that.
Don't gag me.
Don't gag me.
Let me say what I got to say.
When you look at the economy of the Yoruba, of the economics, the Yoruba economics, I'm talking about this, the economics of the Yoruba, when you see the primary sector was men, the secondary sector was women.
Hmm.
There's no housewife. But like if I say housewife. Kosi got to be housewife.
Full time.
Everybody was working. Everybody was engaged.
That's correct.
In the economy. So this is where I have written the book on law. And the idea is that it will be a useful source material for anybody who's interested. For lawyers, for practitioners, for legal writers, for researchers, anybody who reads it, they can then develop it and you know, expand it. It's a very small book. It's a very short book because what I did was to have a list of names, which I then translated. And I'm doing the same. In fact, I've been trying to write a dictionary, a Yoruba medical dictionary. Anyway, that's my story.
This is Dudu Spray FM, Pan-African Radio.
All right, Bashegun. We really enjoyed you. And I foresee having a school, the school of Yoruba medicine and antiquity, and we're going to have the school of this one, the law as practiced by ancient Yoruba. We're going to have all these schools when the time comes. I can foresee that now. Well, listeners, we would have loved to keep our guests longer, but because the engineers were saying, okay,
time's up.
So that we know that our guest is a very busy man, and we really appreciate his time that he has given us today.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
And, really say thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Dr. Olushola Oni. Really appreciate this. So, well, listeners, today or this time around, I'm going to draw a curtain on this interview. It's just again, your host, Obafemi Omoba Baloki, saying bye for now until I bring again another important personality, Jen Witemi. Thank you.
Odabo.
Odabo.
This is Dudu Spray FM, Pan-African Radio. Hey. To the Spray FM, Pan African Radio.